Good morning. My name is Leslie. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and most of you have probably met my husband, Sean, but or seen him. And Sean and I, we have, most of the time, we have things that we enjoy to do together. So, you know, watching sports on TV or, you know, playing with our kids, having a good laugh, eating good food, all those kind of things. We like to go see action movies in the theater, and you know, it's a real treat for us to go to the movies. We have young kids, and so to get out to go to a movie is like a real privilege to go. And so when we do go, we go and visit that overpriced concession stand area that, you know, you can pick up snacks from it. And I enjoy having a box of candy, preferably chocolate, to snack on in a movie. And Sean, he likes a big bucket of popcorn to enjoy. Now, it's not just that Sean and I, I prefer one or the other. That's why we differ. No, I actually do not like popcorn. I don't know what it is. I can't stand popcorn. And some of you are probably going to shut me out from here on out because you cannot imagine life without that buttery, salty goodness that my husband describes, exists. And so popcorn is a well-loved American snack. And in fact, we think that we are the creators of everything, but actually not. We weren't the oldest fans of popcorn. Archaeologists have actually found traces of popcorn in 1,000-year-old Peruvian tombs. Not sure why it's in a tomb. I haven't figured that part out yet. But, you know, it was there. Or we like to say that popcorn was at the very first Thanksgiving. And, you know, like nice pictures, and we think about that. But actually, if you do a little bit more reading or research, you know that that's more myth than actually is a fact. So sorry about that. But popcorn became famous back in the 1890s by an entrepreneur from Chicago named Charles Craters, and he invented the very first popcorn popping machine. And he bought a roaster so that he could roast peanuts to sell at his candy shop that he owned in Chicago. And so he got a hold of this machine, and he started doing some work on it. And instead of improving a roaster, he actually created an entirely different machine that would use steam instead to evenly heat up popcorn kernels so that you could have the most amount of popcorn come from all of these little kernels as you put them in. And so that's how popcorn started going and getting moving and more popular around our country. And in fact, Americans enjoy close to 1 million pounds of popcorn a year. I'm not in that count, however, you know, but what happens is that there's a little drop of water inside of every popcorn kernel that when it expands under the right temperature, it then bursts open to reveal this little starchy goodness. And I don't enjoy that, but again, it's a very much a loved snack all around. But it's a perfect picture of what happens when something small burst open to reveal something so much bigger and more amazing than an actual little kernel of corn. It reminds us of something that can happen when we burst forth with gratitude and thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lives. And so we're continuing a series, and actually we're ending it today, a teaching series on this whole attitude of what it means to be a thankful person. And we just don't want to add a little bit of Thanksgiving here or there, especially in this time of season, but we want to make it a lifestyle. And so as we come to an end, we want to know what it looks like to have a little kernel of blessing and thanksgiving burst forth in gratitude. And so we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. And I'm just going to be up front and saying that this is a passage on giving. And I'm not sure, well, nobody really likes to speak on giving. I especially don't like to encourage giving. But you see, the way that Paul does it here in this passage is that he uniquely ties giving with gratitude. You want to know how grateful and thankful you are? He says that you can see that through the way that you give. And so as I was reflecting this past week, it causes you to second guess and saying, maybe I'm not as thankful or as grateful as I claim I am, because I have a little bit more harder time of giving things away. My husband is very much more generous than I am. He gives money to everybody, and we offer homes to, you know, like, so he's much more generous. I have to learn from Sean and having to be this generous person. But I think we have a lot to learn, myself included, today, as we look of what it means to be a person who lives thanks livingly. Not sure. That's a tongue tire right there. Thanks livingly. Okay? So we're going to again read from Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. I'm going to read the whole passage here together, and then we'll break it down for us as we work through it all together. Okay? All right. So can you put that on the screen there for me, Tony? I don't have it all here together. Here we go. All right, 1 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let me just give you a little bit of a background here on our passage that we just read. In the first century, the city of Corinth was recognized for its great wealth. And although some believers were not wealthy, the church as a whole possessed more than any other church in the area. And so, in fact, Paul spoke so highly of the church in Corinth to the Macedonians earlier in this book because the Corinthians were so eager to give of their resources. And Paul has seemed to now stir up this friendly competition between the churches in this matter of giving. And so here in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote to the church to encourage them to honor this promise that they had made previously to collect money as a relief for the poor in Jerusalem. Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to be more generous with their money. This was the specific area that Paul focused on with them. Now, there's many ways that you and I can be generous. Our time, our money, our resources. But our focus today isn't on how to be generous or the ways that we can show generosity, but rather the reason why we should be generous. Because generosity is this overflow, kind of how popcorn pops out of the popper. It's this overflow, this pouring out of thanksgiving to the grace of God in your life. And so to be a generous person, we have to be a thankful person. Because first of all, generosity starts with God. Generosity starts with God. Let me read verses 6 through 8 again. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, Paul is using the example of a farmer here to explain this concept of generosity. So, you know, a farmer goes out to his field and he sows or plants seed. And if he plants a little bit of seed at harvest time, he naturally is going to expect a small harvest. And so if he goes out and plants a lot of seed, he should expect a large harvest. In the same way, a person who gives sparingly will only receive a little in return. A person who gives generously will receive much in return. But Paul is quick to say that it's not about the quantity. Don't focus on the quantity of the gift, but rather it's the quality of the attitude when giving that was of utmost importance. It's quality over quantity. Paul wrote that we're not to give because we have to, under compulsion, or we're not supposed to give because we feel guilty. But God gives back blessings to those who give as a matter of blessing. God gives back blessings to those who give as a matter of blessing. But God withholds his blessings from those who withhold from others. God rewards those who give freely, who give generously, because God loves a cheerful giver. Generosity must be done in obedience and with the right attitude. Your generous acts must flow from a happy reliance and contentment in God's gracious gifts to you. I heard a funny story this week in that there was a mom who gave her child a $1 bill and a quarter as they were heading into church. And the mom said, "You can place either one of them in the offering today. Either one. It's entirely up to you." And so as they were driving home, the mom asked her daughter what she had decided to give. And the little girl responded, "Well, I was at first going to give the dollar, but then the man behind the pulpit, he said that God loves a cheerful giver. And so I realized that I would be more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so that's what I did." Paul reminds the Corinthian believers that the quantity of the gift was not what mattered as much as the quality of the attitude when giving. You see, our attitude when showing generosity starts with God. God is the source of every good gift we have in our lives. The people, the possessions, our money, and the list goes on. Our blessings are all from God. So in order for us to have the right attitude when faced with opportunities to be generous, we have to realize that every blessing we have in our lives comes from God. Now, if you, like me, at times you can notice yourself having a grudging attitude when it comes time to being generous, or maybe hesitant to give of our time, or hesitant to give of our money or our resources, then we probably need to take a look at what our heart and mind are focused in on daily. It's a whole lot harder to be generous with your time if you think it all belongs to you and you can use it however you want or spend it however you want. It's a whole lot harder to be generous with your money if you think, "Well, I earned it. I get to use it however I want and however I think's best." Or it's a whole lot harder to be generous with our resources if we think that we worked hard for the life and the things that we have and all because of our efforts. It's nearly impossible to have a generous attitude, this joyful, cheerful attitude, when your mind and heart are focused on what you do not have. Or when your mind and heart are focused in and keeping all your money, all your things together so that you can get to the next tax bracket, or so that you can have that car, that house, that lifestyle. The truth is that if you fill your mind and your heart with what you do not have, it's really hard to be generous. Because the truth is, we will always not have this thing or that. Yesterday, I watched my 2-year-old son, Sam, cry relentlessly over a toy that his sister had and he desperately wanted. And finally, he had possession of this toy, and then he still continued to cry for who knows what other reasons it was. And I stood there in the kitchen looking at him as he laid on the kitchen floor, loudly making his emotions known, thinking in my head, "Sam, you have everything that you wanted. Why are you crying?" And it was in a flash moment, I thought, Leslie, that's you. I can't tell you how many times I have been in that situation, not laying on the kitchen floor crying over a toy, but how many times I have internally cried or whined over something that I wanted for this thing or for that thing, thinking that it's going to make me happy and satisfy me. But to realize that once I have it, I'm still wanting something else. I'm still saying, I want this, I want that. To be a content and cheerful person, we have to focus on our blessings, not on what we do not have. Fill our minds with and our hearts with thankfulness and gratitude, and then it's a whole lot easier to share the gifts that we've been given by God. Generosity, you see, was never meant to just be a little checkbox on the list of things that you do when you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Generosity was meant to be this outpouring because we realize just how much we have to be thankful to God. Because generosity starts with God. Imagine that all these popcorn kernels, they were represent blessings from God in your life. You know, for me, my family, my husband, a loving church, a loving community, my kids. You could go, the list could go on and on. You see, research repeatedly reveals that people who take as little as 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, to reflect on the blessings that you have, to give thanks for what you have, they're better physically, they're better emotionally, and they're better mentally. I think Paul quickly adds to that list that you're better off spiritually too, because you have your faith increased as you repeatedly see your needs met in ways that you could never imagine. Paul says again in verse 8, let me emphasize, that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a lot of alls and evers and more than you can imagine. Paul is overemphasizing how God is blessing you and will continue to bless you. I love what one commentator wrote to describe this verse. He said, giving to others is simply what trusting in God's promises looks like in a different dress. When you take this step to trust in that God has promised you to care for you, to provide for you, you can be confident in your obedience to give and be generous to those around you, because God will, you will not lack anything as you follow in obedience to Him. So fill your life with these kernels of gratitude and thanksgiving and commitment and contentment, and see how it just bursts out and expands into the way you give to others. Once you realize what you have, everything that you have, all your blessings are from God, you are free now to walk in obedience, because generosity starts with God. Secondly, generosity showcases grace to others. Generosity showcases grace to others. Let me read verses 9 through 14 together again. It says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. If you're confused by what we just read, don't worry. I was too when I first read that this week. So let me just explain a little bit for you here. Verses 9 and 10 here, Paul wrote that just as God provides the seed for the farmer to go out and plant, which then turns into a harvest of grain, which then turns into bread, which then turns into food, God's going to most certainly supply you, your store of seed, meaning all your resources needed to produce a harvest of righteousness, meaning good deeds, your acts of generosity. God's going to supply you with everything you need so that you can walk in generosity. Simply put, your resources are not your own. Your resources are not your own. Our time, our money, our resources are to be used as a way to showcase God's grace to the world. So realize, though, that there's a cost to generosity. There's a cost to generosity. In a recent article in Psychology Today compared generosity and giving. The article stated that a person's thoughts, their feelings, and motives must play into the distinction between generosity and giving. Generosity has to be more than just giving of time and giving of money and resources. The article mentioned three areas that should be involved when considering generosity. It said, giving something that is of value to me, giving unselfishly, and giving above and beyond. It's easy for me to give a bag of unwanted clothes and toys to Goodwill. That's easy for me. I didn't want them in the first place. They were used, not wanted anymore. So it's easy for me to give those away. They were not of much value to me. Or it's easy for me to volunteer at my kids' schools packing the food for the hungry events because I will be seen by the teachers and the school leadership and they will think, oh, what a great person and family they are. You see, my motives really will be for selfish reasons, not unselfish. Or it's easy for me to meet with someone in my office in my available time. There's little going above and beyond on my part to listen to someone in that situation. You see, I gave of my time, I gave of my resources, I gave of my money in each of those examples, but I really did not display a generosity to others because in any of these examples, I did not really give from grace. I was giving from what I believed others were due. I did not give anyone something that they did not deserve, which is, by the way, exactly what grace is. When Paul described the gift to the Macedonians earlier in this chapter, in chapter 8, he interchangeably uses the word grace and gift. They go back and forth, but it refers to the same thing. Grace has to be involved in giving because without it, you do not have generosity, but rather you just have obligation. Generosity that spreads to others must be filled with the undeserved. Must be filled with the undeserved because it must be full of grace. Paul challenged the church to not just give to others in order for you to feel good, in order for you to look good, but to give to others in order to make God look good. Paul wrote in verse 11 again, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." In order, you are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. God doesn't give you so you can have more. God gives so you can give more. God doesn't give you so you can have more. God gives so you can give more. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that their abundance existed for the sake of giving to others, which would then produce thanksgiving in others. Notice what Paul wrote. He said, "Generosity will result in thanksgiving to God," verse 11, "and overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God," verse 12, "and then others will praise God," in verse 13. If you are the only one that is seen when you give, there's something wrong with your generosity. Your giving to others is not to bring recognition and praise and honor for your contribution of time and money and resources. Our generosity should result in God being honored, God being praised, God being recognized. When we give without grace, people just see our efforts. They just see us. But when we give with grace, God is seen. When you think that only giving what the other person deserves, we get a little bit mixed up, off focus. But when we give with grace, with an amount of time or money or resources that seem undeserved, God is showcased. God is showcased. Your generosity should bear witness to the generosity of God. This is the reason that Paul emphasized at the beginning of that the amount of the gift is not the issue. It's not about how much you give, but it's about how you give, the attitude. An undeserved act of grace is different from one person as it is for the other. Your job is not to keep a checklist of how often or how much you've been generous. You see, our call is to spread the generous gift of grace, whether it's our time, our money, or our resources, because God has given us a surpassing amount of grace in our life through the blessings that are too many to count. Realize that our life can be this overflow of thanksgiving to God because of the grace that has been, is, and will continue to be poured out into our lives. Generosity must showcase God's grace to those around you. You know, when you turn on the popcorn popper, it gets going, all those little kernels get heated up, and then it becomes too much to contain into the popper, and then it just bursts out and overflows down into the area. And, you know, a small kernel turns into something so much bigger and better. But you see, the same thing must happen in our lives. Our gratitude should bubble up out of our life and then spread to those around us. Our kernels of blessing should burst out and pour grace into the lives around us. Now in verse 15, Paul mentions the ultimate move of generosity. Paul, who has become so overwhelmed with the blessing of God that he now burst out with thanksgiving, and he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You see, the only indescribable, beyond words act of grace that was ever given is the gift of Jesus Christ. This act of generosity, it started with God, who could not bear the thought of being separated from humanity, from the ones he loved and created because of sin. And so in his act of generosity, God gave a gift to the world. This gift was costly. It was undeserved by us all. However, God extended grace so that you and I would be in relationship with him. We have been given so much grace, so much mercy, and so many blessings from God. We should hold nothing back to God and others in spreading grace. In Romans 8:32, Paul writes, "God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" You see, generosity, true generosity, is the outpouring of thanksgiving to the grace of God in your life. It's an outpouring of thanksgiving to the grace of God in your life. You realize that God supplied your greatest need of salvation, and he will continue to supply all of your needs. You can be content knowing that just as God has given you the blessings that you have now, he will continue to supply your blessings in your life as you follow in obedience. So showcase grace. Showcase grace, overflow with generosity, and receive the joy that comes from obedience to God. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul used a very specific example for the church, financial contribution to the poor. And it was a very real and tangible way to express gratitude. It's a very real and tangible way for us here, especially as Pastor Nathan mentioned earlier, we have so much. It's very easy for us to express gratitude, and especially for those who are less fortunate or in need. And so giving towards maybe the Thanksgiving offering that was mentioned is a very real way for you to, in practical step for you to care for the poor. Although you're under no obligation, you're under no guilt to do so. But in addition to finances, there are a myriad of ways to show generosity through our time, through our words, through our possessions, through our attitudes, and the like. Maybe stopping to listen to that annoying neighbor might be your act of generosity. Maybe sending a note of encouragement to a friend, to a family member, to your spouse might be your act of generosity. Or maybe offering words of praise to a coworker who's doing a great job, even though they're your rival for the project. That might be your act of generosity. You see, each of us have kernels of blessing from God. They're probably too many to count, really. However, we're never meant to just hold on to those blessings for our own enjoyment. We were blessed to bless others. We were given in order to give. So take our kernels of blessing and allow them to burst forth in gratitude to God. Allow your generosity to pour out from your actions and words. So showcase God. Showcase God and His grace to those around you. As the worship team comes forward and the music will play, I just want to walk us through some time of reflection here on this topic of generosity. So I invite you to close your eyes now, allowing you to reflect and think and allow God's Spirit to speak to you now. Let's take a few moments to reflect on this area of generosity. You see, generosity starts with God. Every blessing we have is a gift from God. When was the last time you took inventory of just how blessed you are? What is your attitude when it comes to generosity? Are you cheerful, joyful, content? Or are you hesitant or complaining when asked to give up your time, money, resources? Take a moment now and refocus your mind and heart on what God has poured into your life. Generosity showcases grace. Generosity should cost you something. Generosity should be filled with undeserved. Generosity should be full of grace. What did you give of last week? Your time, your money, your resources that was perhaps undeserved by a recipient. Your generosity reflects the generosity of God. When you give, do others notice you, or do they notice God? As you look at your life and the people in it, what is the generous thing to do this week? What is the generous thing to do this week? God, our Father, you are so good to us. You are a generous God who does not withhold any good thing from your children. God, we thank you for the blessings that you bring into our life through the people, through our health, through our gifts that you have been given to us at work or at home in our community. God, I pray that you remind us daily of how good you are, of how much you have blessed us. God, turn our eyes from looking at things what we don't have or people who we don't have. God, turn us our eyes into looking at what we do have, because you promise to meet all of our needs, that we're going to lack no good thing. God, by your Spirit, remind us to take those moments. God, we pray that you help us to be people who are generous by giving of time, resources, money, and the like that other people don't necessarily deserve. God, may we showcase your generosity. May we showcase your grace that you have so graciously poured into our lives, especially through the gift of Jesus Christ. God, that we might showcase you, we might point people to your greatness. God, teach us what it is to do the generous thing this week. May we follow in your footsteps this week, we pray. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your blessings to us. May we bubble up, maybe overflow with thanksgiving and gratitude and contentment because of the grace that you have poured into our lives. We thank you and we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.